mind my other glasses, but oh well, okay. We have been talking about how to be filled with the Spirit, okay? And I'm not sure where everybody is at with regards to it, but that's okay. God knows exactly where each one of us is at and is willing to help us. I just want to remind you that Holy Spirit dwelling in you and leading you and enabling you and empowering you and opening doors for you was the entire point of why Jesus did what he did. Okay? It is true that our sins needed to be dealt with. But the reason why they needed to be dealt with was that it prevented this intimate fellowship with God by the Holy Spirit that you were actually made for. Okay? I want to say it again. You and I who have put our trust into Jesus, the whole point was so that Holy Spirit could make you a temple of the living God. What Adam and Eve lost in the garden was not merely everlasting physical life. What they lost was the intimate fellowship with God that they were made for. And Jesus has restored it for us. Okay? But fellowship is not something that can be forced by God. And this is really something, as I've mentioned to you, I find really puzzling. But nevertheless, it is absolutely the case. Genuine fellowship cannot be required of you. It can only be offered by you. Right? God wants to do something in us, but will not force us to receive it and waits for us to be willing to move with him. And I have to, I apologize if the way I express it isn't strong enough. I really want to emphasize, he's patient. He works with you where you are at. I don't think that the Holy Spirit ever comes and says, you ought to be 18 steps ahead. That's usually the devil who would do that. He takes you where you're at and is willing to go the next step with you. But I want you to understand, he will not force you. So if you are waiting for Holy Spirit to just take over your life, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. You can be a person who has believed Jesus to save you from your sins. And you can even be a person who's been baptized in water. And I'll even go as far as to say you can even be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he only takes you as far as you are willing to go. So the issue that we have to address, the issue that he is helping us is that, how far am I willing to go? He wants to bring us into what he has made for us. But let me put it differently. He wants to win us over to what we were made for. Okay? It's very important that we understand God is not requiring something of you as much as he is setting before you. How does Psalm 23 put it? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a prophecy, if you'd like, of what your life is to be about. But what I'm referring to is he prepares a table before you. Did you notice that nowhere did he say, and then he feeds me? He prepares the table, he takes the spoon, he shoves it in my mouth, whether I want to eat or not. He doesn't. Okay? But he sets the table before you and says, come and eat. Come and eat. Okay? So, I hope that those words both stir you and comfort you. Okay? Stir you that there's more for you. There really is more for you. And comfort you, it's okay that you don't have it yet. Okay? Just be willing. Just be willing. Just be willing to take another step. Okay? I want to also remind you that Taking another step is always taking a step outside your comfort zone. Okay, now I use the word comfort zone to mean what we're comfortable with, what we're familiar with, what we understand, what we're used to, what doesn't embarrass us. Okay, what doesn't make us feel uncomfortable, what doesn't, just what we like. Okay, and as wonderful as that is, and let's just acknowledge that we got there by God's grace. That part, the thing that we know, we got there by God's grace. Okay, so we don't have to deny. We're not saying our comfort zone is some wicked, evil place and we just happen to love it. Not if you belong to the Lord. But what God has done for you can be what keeps you from going forward. Okay, now, I'm not sure that this is the best analogy. I will remind you, when the people of Israel were about to enter the promised land, you remember that God had made a promise for them that they would have this land that he said belongs to Abraham and Abraham's descendants forever. Okay? And they were supposed to cross the Jordan and take hold of it. Well, before they did, two tribes said, actually, we kind of like it here. We kind of like it here. Okay? Now, there was no indication in the things that came before it that that's what God wanted for them. But at the same time, he didn't say, you idiots, you rebellious nincompoops, you should be doing what I tell you to do. Get over there. He didn't do that. He let them stay there. Okay? But they still had to go and fight. They still had to go over anyway. They still had to go through the whole process of laying hold of what was prepared for them. I just, again, want to say it's always going to involve you stepping beyond what you've come to. Don't let what God has given you be what keeps you from actually reaching out for more. It's supposed to be a platform from which you can reach out to even more. Okay? You know, if I, as an analogy, let's say what God wants me to do is to get on top of this roof. Okay? This roof is, I don't know what, 5 meters? 6 meters above me? At my best, I ain't jumping 6 meters. Okay, I'm barely jumping 50 centimeters or a half a foot or 2 feet or something like that. Okay? So how do I get up there? Well, what God would do for me is build stairs. Right? So what I cannot reach in one step, I can reach in many steps. The problem comes when I get 3 steps up and say, yeah, I actually like it from up here. Okay? He built the steps. He made the way. I chose to stay there. And that's what we have to confront. That sometimes the reason why I am not having more is not because God doesn't love me, doesn't like me, is upset with me, is mad at me, none of those things. But rather, I just don't want more. And I want us to be willing to want more. And I'm very aware that the words that I have to use to describe what God wants to do in you and for you just don't seem to get far enough. They just don't seem to describe the glory of it. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. Every moment of your day is to be spent expecting him to show you something, help you with something, comfort you. I'm not saying that, you know, you go through your work like a zombie because you're so paying attention to the Lord. But there is this built-in comfort and expectation. He is with me. He never leaves me. He can show me things. I can expect an answer to a big problem. I can find out from him what I need to do to solve this situation. I can go so far as to be able to receive from heaven information that could not be discovered on earth. And it changes the course of either my life or somebody else's life. All of that could be described in this one word, prophecy. Okay, prophecy that comes from God is information that you could not have discovered on earth. It isn't somebody else knew about it and now you're informed. There is an aspect of that. But prophecy, revelation from heaven, that goes beyond what could be figured out on earth. And you're allowed to know it. I mean, like, when I say I don't have the words, like, I'm trying to think, like, can you imagine what it must mean that Holy Spirit himself has come to lead me into the truth? He wants to help me. He wants to help me with my everyday problems. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit is reserved for the great and the grand and the holy. Okay, and what I want to talk today about with regards to what Holy Spirit does in us and for us is touching upon this. Again, I'll put myself in the hot seat because I don't know for sure that you think about him the way I have thought about him or do. But at least in the circles that I moved in and I grew up in the Lord, it was not hard to restrict the activity of the Holy Spirit to the spectacular. Okay? A miraculous healing. That was Holy Spirit. Well, of course it was Holy Spirit. Okay? A dramatic prophecy that could not have been described in any way, and yet it came to pass. That was Holy Spirit. Well, of course it was. And I'm not, again, I should be careful. It could be just my own weakness. Where I concluded was Holy Spirit was for the big and spectacular. Everything else is left up to me. And that's no wonder because, you know, I just make a mess of everything. But actually, he has come for every single thing. We have read in Ephesians in past meetings where it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Okay? Now, I will just say, whether you're a singer or not, that applies to you. Okay? And I encourage you, at least, or especially when nobody is looking except the Lord, sing a song. Even if you're not a musician, sing a song to him. You know, especially in the Psalms, you find revelation about how to worship him that involves more than just singing. It involves raising your hands. It involves dancing. It involves loud cymbals. It involves tubas, although I'm not sure the tuba is the right word, but, you know, horns. It involves all sorts of things. Why? Because God is into music? No. He wants you to be involved with him in such a way that every aspect of who you are. Okay, because you got arms, you got feet, you got a mouth. Some of us can play instruments, so it's not like everybody has to play an instrument. My point is that our involvement with God is to involve all of us. Okay? So it's not an unusual thing that he would say, make a melody from your heart. It really isn't. Okay, now I understand that we're not always so comfortable to do that in front of everybody, but when you're by yourself, I encourage you, just try. Just say something, some compliment, but put it to some song. I don't mean like five verses. I mean just one line of melody. Just sing it to the Lord. I encourage you, especially if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues, speak in tongues. Okay? It should not be an uncomfortable thing for you. And if it's uncomfortable, it's only because we're not practiced. That's all. So in the comfort and the safety of nobody watching, speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, come and talk to me. It's a gift that you are entitled to. It's a gift that you are welcome to. Because it unlocks for you things that just praying with your mind cannot. Right? So it is a worthwhile thing. But my point is, there is something you've got to do. Okay? I think we've covered enough territory to say, Holy Spirit dwells within you. That's irreversible. But you need to welcome his activity. You need to welcome him helping you to shift your mind and your attention from the problems, the situations, the circumstances, your evaluation of yourself, all of that kind of stuff. The stuff that is common to down here, you need his help to be able to shift to a different place. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, and hopefully you'll see why I said anything about Holy Spirit was restricted to the grand and to the glorious. We need him for the grand. We need him for the spectacular. And my concern in speaking as I'm about to speak is to maybe subtly imply to you, ah, miracles, we don't need that. No, we want it. It is in your inheritance that you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So why would we not go for that? Why would we not go for that? It is in your inheritance to receive prophecy. It is in your inheritance to see miracles worked. Okay? It is all within us, and so I do not mean to dismiss it, but the things that Holy Spirit particularly emphasizes is actually not that. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Okay? So, everything I've just said to you is, listen, let's walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called. And what does he say next? Work miracles. Work wonders. Speak in tongues. That's not what he says. He says, walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? I'm going to stop there. We could read the entire chapter. Let me remind you also, Galatians these are my distance glasses, and it's like a verse 13 of chapter 5. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Okay, I'll stop there. We could keep going. So, what am I trying to say? Okay, so, walk by the Spirit and you will work miracles. Now that is true, but that's not the emphasis. Again, we do not want to dismiss the need for miracles. You are a walking miracle machine in development. Okay, now in development is not necessarily the right way. You are on your way. If Holy Spirit dwells within you, he makes that possible. But to get there, there are other things that need to fall into place. It's not to say that he can't just use you in a moment, but again, it has to do with, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? The spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet. There's a principle there. There's a principle there that applies to all of these things. Okay? But what has Holy Spirit first come to do? What is the mark of you walking in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called? What is the indication that Holy Spirit is getting what he wants in you? Well, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In other words, Holy Spirit having freedom in your life Its effect is that he renovates you. He takes you from being the person who's cranky because you're concerned about your agenda and getting it done and people not doing the things the way you want to do and all that kind of thing that is more characteristic of the flesh, to you begin to love people. You begin to be patient with people. You continue to be gracious and kind to people. Okay? So one of the things that I want you to see is that Holy Spirit has come for everyday life, your interactions with other people. But I also want you to see, here's my next step. Why does he start with that? Why does he start with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Why does he start with, I want you to walk with all humility, loving one another, being kind to one another? Why does he start with that? Why does he start with that? Again, my point here is, he is taking you on a journey into all that it means for the Spirit of God to dwell within you. Okay? He is taking you on a journey. He's not forcing you. He takes you as you're willing to take the step, but he's taking you on a journey. What does he start with? This renovation. I'm not sure if renovation is the right word, but I think you understand what I mean. He wants to change how you tackle things, how you react to things, how you approach things. Whereas before, you may rightly, perhaps, and justly get mad at somebody. You're finding patience, kindness, more and more being your way. This is the work of Holy Spirit, okay? And it needs to be welcomed and received. And my next point is, like, why? Why is that what he starts with? Wouldn't it be a lot more efficient if all of a sudden we just started shooting fireballs out of our fingers and people got healed? Or killed, depending on what the situation requires. Okay? Because remember, there was a meeting with the Holy Spirit where two people died. Okay? So we don't, not that we want that, okay? But it did happen. The Holy Spirit has the right to end our time on earth and say, okay, you're done. Come with me. Okay? And I will just say for the record, for the comfort of anybody, I'm convinced that Ananias and Sapphira did not go to hell. They just went home. Their time was finished because of their misbehavior. Okay? And it sure woke the church up at that point in time. Okay, but leaving that aside, why does he not start with the spectacular? Why does he not just start with the things that seem to just take over your life? I am all in favor of us having encounters with the Holy Spirit where people fall down, they may react in ways that we don't understand. I'm all in favor of it, but what we really want is you fall down, you laugh, or whatever, and if your life is no different afterwards, then what was the point? If you're still just as depressed, if you're still just as cranky, if you're still just as angry with people, then all you had was an experience. And yes, that's available, but it's less than what he wants for you. So why does he start with this renovation? It's this renovation that makes possible the other things. Okay? There is an atmosphere in which God can work. Do you recall? Now, this is a little bit out of context. Do you recall? Jesus, who was working miracles, came to his hometown. And he could not work many miracles there. Now, it was because of their lack of faith. He marveled at their lack of faith. But how did that lack of faith manifest? In their attitudes. Who was this guy telling? Like we know him. I changed his diaper. And he's telling me this stuff. There was this attitude of offense that left no room for Holy Spirit to work. So why does he start with renovation? And please let me know if there's a better word to describe that. Why does he start with changing how you interact with people, how you react to situations and circumstances? Why is that so important? It makes room for him. It makes room for him. Today's not the day. In fact, I am actually going to end in just a few minutes, and I would like everyone to note how early this is. I did not get to 12. We do need at some point to talk about how do we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like prophecy. How do we move in those sorts of things? Because it is a part of it. When the ministry of the Holy Spirit is described in the Scriptures, he talks about him coming to dwell within you. He talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit. In a sense, that's what we're talking about here, this renovation. He talks about ministries by the Holy Spirit, okay? Callings that people are called to accomplish, right? Not just a task, but like an assignment. So, for example, a pastor is given an assignment. An apostle is given an assignment. Accomplish this. And God empowers them to do it, and it affects many people. So there are ministries in the Holy Spirit. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? And one of the places that it talks about how those gifts work is 1 Corinthians, right? And it is worth noting, hey, take courage. If the Holy Spirit could work through a bunch of nitwits like the Corinthians, he could certainly work through us. Okay? And boy, were they a pretty... One day we'll stand before them, so I have to be careful how we talk about them. They were immature, let's put it that way. They were caught up with things, but not very settled about some things. And there were things going on in their midst that Paul had to deal with pretty sternly and strongly. Okay? There were things going on that should not be going on, but they were believers. They were believers. He starts that letter by saying, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." As if God really likes them, okay? Well, in talking to them about how the gifts of the Spirit work, okay, in chapter 12, he lists them all out and all that kind of stuff, and in chapter 14, he continues to talk about them, and sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14 is chapter 13, which starts up by saying, and let me tell you an even better way, love. Love is patient, love is kind. Right, that famous passage that oftentimes only surfaces at a wedding, okay? But it's not really talking about romantic love, okay? Although if romantic love doesn't include all of these things, that marriage is heading for trouble, right? So, okay, fine. But he's actually talking about something grander. You want to move in the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you a better way, love. So as your homework, why don't you compare the passages that we just read, okay, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, walking in a manner worthy with the things that he says about love in chapter 13, okay? Why is chapter 13 and its content sandwiched between instruction about how to move in the gifts of the Spirit? Because that is the environment, the atmosphere in which Holy Spirit can move. Why did Jesus give himself for you? Because God made him, right? God forced him. He had to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't have a choice about it, and he just did it. Was that why Jesus died on the cross for you? Why did he die for you? Why did he choose to? For the joy set before him. And what was the joy set before him? He loves us. He did what he did out of an infinite love for you, right? Exactly as Simona has said, but it builds on what was underneath it, and that is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So, if that's why Jesus did what he did, and you have to recognize, Jesus was empowered to do what he did, right? Nobody has gone through what Jesus went through. How did he manage to do it? Was he just good in and of himself? Well, okay, fair enough. He's God. But you need to understand, the Holy Spirit came upon him. His entire ministry was enabled by Holy Spirit coming to dwell upon him and dwell in him. He did what he did by the Spirit. So his ability to see through this love of God to the point of giving himself on the cross for you and me was enabled by Holy Spirit. And how did Holy Spirit move? Well, because Jesus loved. He loved. He loved. He loved. He loved. He loved. There is an environment in which Holy Spirit can move in your life. If you're continually cranky, okay, and I know that we have our moments, but I'm talking about if your way is to be cranky, what are you doing? Well, you're grieving Holy Spirit. What does that mean? He just gets mad at you? He's sad? No. You know, that word grieve is another word for it would be make sorrowful. So he's not mad at you because you're cranky. You're making him sad. And when that happens, basically you're putting a stop sign, say, this far and no further. And so he waits. He can't move through you. So by giving attention to, I welcome your ministry of humility, your ministry of being kind, being gracious. Like, get at the root of me. Why am I cranky? Mind you, that requires you to recognize that that's how you are, right? So maybe the first step is to recognize you're not as hot as you think you are. You're not so righteous and perfect and excellent in your behavior as you might be. So there is a requirement just to say continually before the Lord, if there's something you do not like about how I do things, then I want you to make it known to me. Or to use the words of the psalmist, see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in your everlasting way. That has to be a part of our practice, right? Because let's be honest. If we are cranky, I just happen to choose crankiness, but if we are like that, almost certainly we are that way thinking that we're right about it. I have a point. I have a reason to be like this. And sometimes we need help to say, actually, if this does not please you, I'm willing to lay it down. Do you see this, what I sought to describe earlier is about God taking you a step at a time? First, he deals with, why am I cranky? Well, he also has to get across to you, I don't like you being cranky. I want you to change. And that requires you, well, Lord, how am I going to change if you don't help me? Well, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to help you. Instead of reacting like this, I want you to choose to do this. But I can't do that. They're wrong. How many times have you been wrong? And I didn't react that way to you. How many times have you done the wrong thing and I didn't blow up at you? And there's this interaction. It may not be vocalized like that, okay? But the sense of it is there. How patient he has been with you. How kind he has been with you. How merciful he has been with you. Did you know that the old person died? You're behaving like somebody who died. I want you to behave like somebody who's alive. Holy Spirit requires a certain atmosphere within to move. Not only does he require it, he comes to help you have it. It is fruit of yielding to him. Okay? And the effect of that is to make possible what would be impossible. I'm going to end there. Let me again just encourage you, whatever you understand thus far about how do I get filled, I want you to make a point of doing this week, okay? If you don't like to sing a song, fine, I'm not going to make you sing a song. But I do want you to take time to put it as Simona so well put it to me, to compliment the Lord. Compliment him. You are just wonderful. I am so overwhelmed by your kindness to me. I just give thanks to you. And, you know, as often as you remember to do it, do it. Do it especially when you start to get tight inside and cranky. And we have a picture of our daughter. I just love that picture. We have a picture of our daughter when she was, like, what, 6 months? And Simona's parents were here, and they had gone off to Banff, and Sophia was getting, okay, I've had enough of all this. I've had enough of all this. We're sitting here and I'm not doing anything sort of thing. And there's a picture that, I don't know who took it. It must have been Simona who took it just before she exploded. And you could see this face on her. But when you feel like that, that's when you need to talk to the Lord. Father, I just want to bless your name and remember that you are good and gracious and kind. It's a really funny picture because you know what happened afterwards. It's like, and this little tiny baby, you know, because she's, what, 6 months old, right? This little face, this little round face going. But that's how we are sometimes, isn't it? I can't take it anymore! That's, just before that is when you need to say, oh, Father, I just bless your name that you are so gracious and kind and compassionate and merciful. There is no one like you, and you have been so patient with me. And I am thankful. I'll leave you with this. Holy Spirit will not fill you if you don't want him to. Holy Spirit will not fill you if you don't choose to do what he says. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He does not just say, oh man, he's going to make a mess of the day. I'll just step into him and just take care of it. He'll let you make the mess. He'll rescue you afterwards, but he'll let you make the mess. Because you've got to, he doesn't want you to force him to love you. He wants to win you over to him. So let him. The little bit you know to do, do. Father, again, we just do want to say you are so marvelous and kind and gracious and patient. You've been so kind with each one of us. How many times you have not dealt with us as our sins required or deserved, but been gracious. You even turn things that are bad to our good, even when we're the source of the bad. And we just want to acknowledge you. You have done something that goes beyond our words to describe, that your Spirit dwells within us. Father, indeed, see if there be any hurtful way in any one of us or us as a church. If we as a church are doing things that you don't want us to be doing, then I ask you to help us there, Father, starting with me first and foremost. Because we just want you to be thrilled with our response to things. We want you to be delighted in how we react. We want you to get what you want in us and on the earth. And we just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you in Jesus' name.